You're listening to New England Public Radio News, and this is the shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And with us today are Chris Collins, columnist with the Greenfield Recorder, and Larry Parnas, investigations editor with the Berkshire Eagle. Welcome to you both.
Hey, thanks, Guy.
In Holyoke, school officials there this week are saying that they're bracing for an influx of new students from Puerto Rico, with many looking to leave the U.S. territory after Hurricane Maria. Right now, 80% of Holyoke Public School students are of Puerto Rican descent. Joseph Zreich is the state receiver for the Holyoke Public Schools.
We're in constant contact with the relief efforts and that the city has set up and the region has set up so that as they start interfacing with families, they're providing us with information about families that may be coming with children.
Chris, what sort of impact might an exodus of people leaving the hurricane-damaged island have on our region, which has a pretty robust Puerto Rican community?
Well, speaking specifically about the schools, anytime you have an influx of young people, it impacts the schools. Bottom line, the more kids, the more resources you have to have. I don't know what it would do to the region as a whole, but it's not just going to be a regional problem. It's not just going to be Western Mass. I mean, the governor has also said the Commonwealth's going to welcome refugees. He's forming a task force. So yet to be seen, but I definitely think it's going to have an impact on the numbers in the Holyoke schools, and they're going to have to deal with that fiscal part of it.
You know, we've been talking about refugees internationally. Here's a United States refugee issue, and these communities are stepping forward just as they should.
And Larry, to pick up on Chris's point, how much of a role does the state need to have, do federal agencies need to have in making sure that communities can handle this influx in terms of resources for the folks coming here and, of course, the financial piece?
Well, with the Holyoke schools in a receivership now, I think the state is going to have to stand up to this and be ready for it. I think if Holyoke schools were still struggling on their own, it would be a different picture.
What I'm curious about is how this is going to jive with the Trump administration's Get Tough plan regarding illegal immigration and undocumented immigrants. I mean, you've got refugees coming in from Puerto Rico, and I just think it's ironic that we would have this happen now, given all the saber rattling that's gone on.
Also feel that the whole situation in Puerto Rico, I'm not sure the 51st state really feels like that close a connection, and this is dramatizing it, and I think that's a productive thing.
And what's also interesting is, Puerto Rico, sometimes it wants to be the 51st state, and sometimes it wants to be a sovereign nation. And I just think that conversation is going to, I think, be something that's going to have to happen. And it shouldn't happen in the face of having to deal with a crisis like this, but it should happen.
This week, a labor dispute between unionized nurses and Berkshire Medical Center in Pittsfield took another turn. The nurses want to strike over what they call unfair labor practices, while the hospital says that would violate their now expired contract. The two sides are in federal court in Springfield today. And Larry, you were there. We're waiting to see what the judge is going to say as we sit down and record this this afternoon. He has not come out with a decision yet. What did you take from that hearing?
That lawyers are excellent at mincing words. At one point today, the hospital's lawyer was arguing the merits of an unfair labor practice complaint that the union filed. It gets pretty complicated when the stakes are this high. It really came down to whether the fact that the union referred to its action as related to unfair labor practices should throw it into a contract situation. I think, Congress said in the 70s that healthcare workers have the right to strike. I wouldn't be surprised if this strike goes forward.
How do you violate an expired contract, by the way? I mean, it doesn't even make a lot of sense. I know that in the Franklin County case with the Bay State Franklin Medical Center, one of the reasons the nurses went out on strike is because they were trying to make cuts to existing benefits. You know, there's already a problem with staffing levels with nurses. There's always issues of concern and about nurses literally being dead on their feet, in terms of the ability to perform because they're so tired. So there's a lot of issues here. And of all the people, of all the groups to have to deal with this kind of strife, those nurses, I can tell you from firsthand experience, work really hard.
And Chris, of course, that strike happened back in June. That contract situation between the nurses and Bay State Franklin is still unresolved, just like this one in Pittsfield. Both have gone on for a long time now, many, many months. From that situation in Greenfield, can that shed any light on what's going on in Pittsfield?
I'm not sure what the issues are in Pittsfield, but I can tell you that across the board, the issue, number one issue, I think, is safe staffing levels. I think in both cases, the nurses are concerned they haven't got enough people on staff to be able to deal with the patients that they have. And you're talking about, in some cases, nurses that have, a 12-to-1 ratio in terms of patient to nurse. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
That is the case now at Berkshire Medical Center, Adam. The union has made this a statewide campaign. There was the Tufts Medical Center strike, and for at least 3 years, this has been a legislative priority, and now could very well move on to a ballot question next year.
The last thing, by the way, these hospitals want, especially the small ones, is to have to unionize, deal with, you know, unionized nurses and having to deal with a lot of demands. I mean, with what's been happening in just in terms of Medicaid reimbursements, I mean, there just is not enough money there to operate. A lot of these places are operating at a loss.
The Massachusetts Cannabis Control Commission is taking its show on the road starting next week. The board charged with regulating the marijuana industry in the state will hold a series of public meetings starting in Holyoke next week, as I mentioned, and the commission's chair is Stephen Hoffman.
Before we get started, we thought it was imperative that we actually listen to the public about their concerns and opinions so that we incorporate those into the regulatory development process.
So, Larry, with recreational pot shops scheduled to open next summer, is this the best use of the commission's time since there really aren't any regulations on the book yet?
Well, they have a tight time frame here. They have to have some of these rules set by next March. They begin to take license applications in April. I think government officials have learned the hard way that if they don't appear to be listening to people, they're in trouble. But the residents of Massachusetts did vote nearly a year ago to make this happen, and now they're still beginning to get the rule set. It's a bit of an embarrassment.
The irony of this is that a lot of the people on that commission were not in favor of this. So you've got people that weren't in favor of the regulation to begin with setting the framework for the regulations. I wonder if they'll bring samples to these meetings. I don't know. But I think it's going to be interesting to see what they come up with, and I think Larry's right. They've got to get this done because the clock's ticking.
Is there a particular concern or two somebody from Franklin County might present at one of these meetings?
I honestly haven't taken the temperature of the entire county, but Franklin County went overwhelmingly in favor of this regulation of the legalization. I don't think you're going to see a lot of roadblocks being thrown up. I do think there are some towns that are concerned, like Conway, for example, is going to vote this month on whether to delay the sale of recreational marijuana until they can figure out what their bylaws are going to be.
Meantime, just as you're saying, in the vacuum here, towns are trying to struggle to figure out what their procedures and rules should be about where to allow this to happen. I think there's been signals that they should seek moratoria and delays, and that does not represent the will of the people.
Larry Parnas with the Berkshire Eagle and Chris Collins of the Greenfield Recorder, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
And thank you, our loyal listeners of The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch us at any time, wherever you get your podcasts, or at nepr.net/podcast. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.